It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll and professor of political science. So last time, Tim, we were talking about the choices before Vice President Harris as she picks a number two on the Democratic ballot. Let's talk about former President Trump's decision to tap the Ohio Senator J.D. Vance as his vice presidential running mate this time, a spot that used to be held by Mike Pence, not this time. What did you think of the choice?
So based on media reports, the final tier of candidates to run with former President Trump, number three, there was Doug Burgum, the governor of North Dakota, Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, and then J.D. Vance, a first-term senator from Ohio. Each of these candidates offered some interesting elements for the ticket. Burgum was probably the least controversial, had executive governing experience. Rubio could have expanded the ticket's appeal, particularly to Cuban Americans. The challenge there was that under the current rules, the president and vice president can't come from the same state. And Donald Trump's current permanent residence is Mar-a-Lago in Florida. So something would have had to budge. Rubio is only in the second year of his latest term. Doubtful he would have resigned the Senate and moved out of state. More likely than not, Donald Trump would have changed his residence to a property in New Jersey or New York, for example. So not insurmountable. Vance was biggest gamble, biggest risk, biggest reward. He's only in the second year of his first term in the United States Senate from Ohio. He was a venture capitalist prior to running for the Senate, also an author. His memoir, Hillbilly Elegy, came out in 2016 and provided an insight into the white working class of the industrial Midwest and their challenges, their grievances. And so it was an enormous success as a book. It's back on the bestseller list now since Vance's elevation to the ticket. And so he provided that sort of everyman experience. He's also a Marine veteran, was deployed to Iraq, went to Yale Law School, has a law degree as well. So interesting background. The most important factor, perhaps, at least this is based on media reporting, was that he's all in on the Make America Great Again agenda. And what former President Trump values most from the people around him is loyalty. And there's no secret that Trump felt former Vice President Mike Pence had been disloyal in not helping Trump in his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential
which is
election.
To say, in his resistance to kind of ripping the Constitution in two on January 6th.
Oh, no question. Yeah. I mean, this was not shouldn't have been a difficult decision for Mike Pence to, that, as we know, the vice president is the president of the Senate and occupies a ceremonial role in the opening of the electoral votes cast by the Electoral College. There is no substantive legal argument to say that the vice president in that role can do anything to shape or even delay the outcome of a presidential election. Be that as it may, there were legal advisors around Trump who felt that at minimum Pence could slow things down while they raised questions about the validity of some of the state's electors. And so was viewed as an act of great disloyalty by former President Trump. And so that kind of fealty was really an important element of the search for a running mate, and hence the decision to go with J.D. Vance as someone who would without question, abide by the decisions that a reelected President Trump would make and would do everything to in his power to carry out those decisions.
And Vance has already said he would have gone where Pence wouldn't with respect to certifying alternate elector slates and so on. But I wanted to go back to something you brought up, which is this question of, you know, MAGA loyalty. We did some reporting here about statements made on this very show by Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who is a top Republican in the House conference now. And she was also on the longer shortlist for vice president. Much like Vance, you know, in 2015, 2016, had some very critical things to say about Trump. More of Vance's comments keep coming out from texts and emails he wrote contemporaneously where he was not on the Trump train. Do you think that will change the view of voters of Vance at all?
I'm not sure it will, unfortunately. And I say that in this with this in mind. I think voters are pretty cynical about the authenticity of our political figures these days. You have provided two perfect examples of individuals who raised sharp concerns and criticisms about Trump and then have come around to be all in for him. Another perfect example, former South Carolina governor, former UN ambassador Nikki Haley, who was Trump's fiercest critic fewer than 7 months ago, and yet wholeheartedly endorsed him and spoke on his behalf at the Republican National Convention. I don't think the vast majority of the public sees these quick turnarounds and says, well, I'm not going to vote for this individual. I think they assume this is part of politics and it won't get in their way. And that's a shame. We absolutely want to demand authenticity and consistency from our leaders.
What about the fact that Vance is also, like Trump, a white man, and the Democratic ticket already obviously will have more diversity with respect to Vice President Kamala Harris? I think a lot of people are wondering, having seen the 2016 outcome, what kind of factor those things will play in this race.
Yeah, the choice of Vance is really a base choice, and it is informed in part, according to media accounts, by the Trump campaign's expectation that they would be facing Joe Biden in November, that even after Biden's disastrous performance in the presidential debate, the assumption was there's no way he's going to step aside, and therefore let's double down on our base. Let's not worry too much about reaching out to that slim segment of undecided voters. Which is surprising that they weren't gaming out all kinds of scenarios to see, well, if this happens, how do we respond? Who might be a safer choice? Vance's rollout has been difficult. It has not been successful. His unfavorability crept up in an ABC News poll from July 20th to July 27th. And this is the time when you introduce a new running mate to the country and people form what can be lasting impressions of that individual. Some members of the Republican Party are saying, could they have gone with a safer choice? Doug Burgum from North Dakota, Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia. Switching out now is not an easy process. And for Donald Trump, it would be tantamount to saying he made a mistake. So it seems pretty unlikely. What they're going to have to do instead is find a way to reintroduce Vance to offset the difficult first week. And let me add this point. One of the areas where Trump did poorly in 2020 was suburban women. His share of that vote dropped from 2016. He needs to get them back. And some of the rhetoric coming from his running mate has just absolutely alienated women. The talk about the childless cat ladies, but also the discussion about abortion and monitoring women who might leave their state to have an abortion in another state. These are things that are just antagonizing a segment of the electorate that Trump was probably hoping to get back this year.
We've been speaking with Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll and professor of political science. It's always a pleasure, Tim. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about the current president and the former president.
I look forward to it.